Hello and welcome to this month's Kosher Classes web conference and teleconference. We're here in the Starkey offices in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm Rabbi Tzvi Goldberg, and today we have the honor of having Rabbi Tzvi Rosen.
Hi.
How are you, Rabbi Rosen?
Baruch Hashem. Very well.
Thank you for coming.
Pleasure being here.
This conference is held the last Wednesday of every month at noon at two places, dimdim.com, D-I-M-D-I-M.com. The classroom name is Kosher, and you can reach us by telephone also at 218-895-1203. The passcode is 2020. And today, just in time for the Hanukkah holiday next week, we're going to be discussing getting olive oil, using olive oil on Hanukkah. Does it need to be kosher? And from there, we thought we would talk in general about items that need or don't need to have a certification in order to be used. That's one of the things that we answer. We have a special hotline here at the Starkey, and one of the questions that we get often is, does this particular product need a kosher certification? So let's begin with Hanukkah, Rabbi Rosen, with olive oil, which is part of your expertise.
Yes.
One of your many areas of expertise. Tell us a little bit about how olive oil is kosher. We certify it, so are there kosher issues that come up? And then we'll discuss whether or not you need to worry about it for Hanukkah.
Thank you, Rabbi Goldberg. Briefly, there are three major methods of attaining olive oil from olives. Obviously, you need to grow olives first, and there have to be specific olives which are used for extraction of oil. The olive oil that is what we know as extra virgin olive oil is what the industry says is cold pressed.
What does that mean, Rabbi Rosen?
Cold pressing really means that they will, and not necessarily cold, but they will chop and extract the olive oil from a centrifuge, and they will not refine it. It will be filtered and packed, and that is the best quality olive oil that you can get on the market.
So you could do that in your home too, couldn't you? Take olives, put them in a little presser, press out the oil, and then
The problem is that you would usually get table olives which are different than regular olives that will come off of the trees. If the acidity is too high, then you need to have a lower acidity, therefore it would be too bitter to just take it through an extraction process like that. The olive oil will then have to be refined. And refining oil goes through a multi-process of a caustic wash. Then you have to neutralize the caustic acid in it. You'll deodorize the oil. And afterwards...
So hold on, one second. So you said first that they cold press it. So then... And then it is refined also?
Well, if you have... with the olive oil called pure olive oil... What they call a refined olive oil is olive oil which goes through the crush,
right,
and the extraction. But then they need to have further processes so that the olive oil would be palatable.
If
the olive oil is going to be too acidic and therefore it won't taste good, then you won't be able to sell the product.
I see. So it's all cold, though. There's no heat.
Oh, there's plenty of heat in
there
the
is?
Refining.
And so why do they call it... So the cold press is just the press.
A cold pressed olive oil is the extra virgin olive oil. When they speak about a cold pressed oil, that's an oil that does not go through any refining process.
Okay.
Then if you have the residual oil that would be in olive oil in the skins that would not be able to be extracted and produced through regular refining, there is a third category of olive oil known as pumice olive oil, or they also call it lapant, which is olive oil that goes through an extraction with hexane. Typically, hexane is a solvent that will be able to get the residual olive oil out of the olive skins or whatever the I guess the lowest quality of product, and then that goes through a refining process similar to the pure olive oil, except it doesn't go through a hexane process.
So let me get this straight. So if you buy extra virgin olive oil, that is pressed and filtered.
Correct.
Okay. If you buy olive oil that's not extra virgin, it's just
refined oils.
It just says olive oil. It just says olive oil on it.
You can assume that means it's a refined.
So it's refined with a hot process. And then we'd be worried about what else is refined on those.
That is correct.
On that equipment as well. But the extra virgin, we wouldn't be worried about the equipment because it's only cold, and cold doesn't. The equipment won't affect the kosher status of the oil.
Correct.
Okay, that's in a nutshell.
That's in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Typically, in most of the refineries that we visit, and we visit refineries in Spain, and in Italy, and in Turkey, in Tunisia, Morocco, Portugal, all of these countries, I've yet to see an olive oil that shares a meat rendering or a non-kosher type of refined oil as you would find. It's harder to find in the United States, but that was typically what you would find in the United States or you'd find in Mexico. But we mm-hmm. would require, when we ask for certification for an olive oil, we would definitely go to these refineries to see that there's nothing that would come to compromise the kosher of the olive oil.
So the main thing that would compromise the kosher status of the olive oil in the refinery would be what else is done on that.
Correct.
Right? What about the extra virgin that is just pressed and filtered? So is there any issue if a person wants to use it for eating, for cooking, does he need to look for certification or not?
I think it's important to understand what's going on in the industry. The Star-K is a member of the North American Olive Oil Association. One of the headline projects of the North American Olive Oil Association is what they call a SEAL program, meaning the SEAL program is their version of certification because there has been incidences of adulteration of having a cheaper quality oil that would be passed off as a higher quality oil. Therefore, they want to try to make it a crime and to make it illegal, and also to have their membership to buy into a SEAL program to subject the sampling for testing to make sure that what oil that they're getting is, when they say extra virgin, is not a cheaper imitation, a type of a pomace oil.
And that would be refined, and that would need a certification.
That's
so
correct.
Extra virgin, you're saying, should have a certification because it may not be really extra virgin?
That is correct.
Uh-huh. So our official policy is that on olive oil, that is, even if it's extra virgin, we require a certification for use all year?
That's correct.
Okay. Because it could be adulterated. How about adulterated other types of oils?
There has always been a fear that sometimes hazelnut oil could pass the tests, the Delta 7 tests, or the different types of quality testing that olive oil would be subject to. It is rare because hazelnut oil, not necessarily as a commodity item, soybean oil would be more of a commodity item. And it's really very difficult to go ahead and pass the soybean oil off as a as olive oil, and it's not done industry wide. But there is, and there's been known to have other oils in the past. I don't know if in the recent past, but it's always good to be able to have another set of eyes to make sure mm-hmm. that what you're getting is what you're paying for.
Right. So I want to mention that anybody who has a question could chat with us. There is a chat box on the right side of your screen if you're joining us by Dim. And we do have a couple of comments here. One is, the cold press equipment would have to be clean so the oil is not adulterated with some foreign substance. So even though it's cold, you'd have to make sure that there's no residue.
True, but most of the companies that I've been to, in fact, all of the companies, the cold press equipment is used exclusively for olives, nothing else. And in these countries where I probably Spain, which provides 30% of the world olive supply, the processors, which the one that I visited, would do 1 million pounds of olives a day. I don't think that they're really too interested in doing too much else other than olive oil. And the equipment that's used really for the cold pressing is really used exclusively for olive oil.
Even if it were used for something else, theoretically, as the oil would go through, it would be self-cleaning.
That is
because
true.
It would push out the other oil, and so after a number of gallons, it would be considered free of the fine substance. That's what
That's
I would think.
That's interesting to note that if you go into a health food store and you'll have expeller pressed or cold pressed, there's even other types of oils, rapeseed oils, other types of oils. That means that those oils have also gone through a cold pressing and does not go through a refining process. You can usually tell by those oils being cloudy.
Mm-hmm. Now, do other hashgachas share the star case view? I think they mean that olive oil requires, even extra virgin requires certification. Do other hashgachas agree with us?
Interestingly enough, our sister company in Midtown Manhattan, the OU, which really has the lion's share of the olive oil certifications, do not share our view in terms of extra virgin olive oil requiring certification, even for Pesach, even for Passover. As far as a refined oil is concerned, everyone would share that view that we would need to know what else is being refined on the equipment.
So we have a stricter view than some of the other certifications about the olive oil. I hope that answers your question.
I'll just give you another apocryphal story that years ago when I was in Spain visiting one of our companies called Savena, which at that time was called Agrobetica, as I was speaking to my contact there, they got a call from the Badat. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was around this time that they were sending a representative there to be able to take a shipment of oil from that company for Hanukkah. So that they would actually have not only that they required a certification, but they required to have somebody there present as the oils was being sent to Israel. Mm-hmm.
So that is the next question we want to deal with, is what about using this oil without a certification? You know, you can go into a bookstore, a Jewish bookstore, and buy special olive oil for Hanukkah that has a certification such as you just mentioned. And usually the pricing is commensurate with the, you know, it's usually a specialty item, more expensive. And the question is, would it be necessary to do that? If you just go into the supermarket and buy the cheapest olive oil that you can find with a certification, without a certification.
The consumer has to make sure that when they're reading the ingredient panel, there are certain oils that they will call light olive oil blend. You'd have to have these trigger words to make sure that there's not going to be any soybean oil added into the blend.
Well, even if there were, you're just using it to light, you could still fulfill the mitzvah of lighting your candle with oil, but you want to do it with olive oil. I understand. Right. There wouldn't be any.
And you typically will have the truth in advertising as far as the large companies are concerned. As I've asked our member companies, that large companies that are selling off of the shelf would be very hesitant to really adulterate the oil. Usually you'll find it more in food service, where a restaurateur would try to go ahead and to get the cheapest oil possible.
So the question is then, it says olive oil pure, 100% olive oil, but haven't got a certification. So it doesn't need to be kosher in order for me to use it for Hanukkah. Now I want to point out that most authorities are of the opinion that the olive oil that you use for Hanukkah does not need to be kosher. It doesn't need to be something that would be edible from a kosher perspective. You can use even something that's not kosher. There are some, though, that disagree with that, and they are of the opinion that it has to be kosher. So what could a question that could arise right away is if you buy oil from the land of Israel, from Eretz Yisrael, and it hasn't got any certification, that is technically not yet kosher oil because it's what we call tevil, hasn't been tithed yet. So I think there are, if someone that would ask me, I would say stay away from that oil because that's definitely a problem. And you want to be a little bit careful with that. What about other oils that are produced outside of Israel but don't have a certification on them?
I would say for Hanukkah, that you would just use it for lighting, that if the olive oil states that it's 100% pure olive oil, or if it's into 100% refined pure olive oil, that you can be very rest assured that that's what you're going to be lighting.
And even if it's not made on kosher equipment, or it has other things, other, you know, some foreign substance mixed in to some extent, it wouldn't be a problem for a kosher. It wouldn't be a problem for lighting for Hanukkah.
Typically, the only other things which are manufactured on the same in the same refineries are what they call seed oils. It would be soybean oils, sunflower seed oil, corn oil. Those are the oils which would not really disqualify the equipment for use.
Right. So, basically, in a nutshell, the title that we gave to this this talk was, or that you gave, Rabbi Rosen, was your title is "Don't Let Your Money Go Up in Flames." In other words, you had the answer in the title there, that it's not necessary to buy olive oil with any certification at all. You can get the cheapest one that you can find. It states 100% olive oil. Just we would recommend to stay away from olive oil from the land of Israel if it doesn't have a certification. So in one sense, that would be our statement. So let's see if there's any other questions here. I once bought a pre-filled oil Hanukkah glasses with a heksher. It didn't burn well. They sell those little cups already that come with oil in them. Turned out to be regular vegetable oil. Okay. I guess he checked into it. It must have said oil on it, and it turned out not to be oil. So that's disappointing. Not an oil question, but is there an issue on the wicks, cotton versus the floating wicks? Okay, that's a good question about using the different types of wicks. That's another whole story. There is some discussion in the authorities about using the floating wicks with they're coated with wax. There's a question about those. I don't think we have this is not the forum for that, but who's ever asking is welcome to give us a call later and we can talk about that. By the way, our number here is 410-484-4110, and you are listening to the Kosher Classes web conference. We're here every Wednesday, last Wednesday of the month at dimdim.org, and at 218-895-1203. So let's move on a little bit, Rabbi Rosen, and talk about other things that don't require a certification. That's one of the areas where I think we pride ourselves, is that even though we certify many items, many thousands and thousands of items, not all of them require certification. And we're honest with people and with our companies that they don't really require a certification, like water.
But there's one thing about consumer confidence. Even though we don't require a certification, there is a certain element of consumer confidence that when you see the kosher mark there, that you would hope that there's another set of eyes that are looking at the process to assure the consumer.
There is added benefit because you're not just assuming that it's kosher, but you know that it's kosher. There is a benefit, but when people call us and ask us, we tell them that it doesn't really require. So I have one of our lists over here of things that do or don't require a certification. It's in alphabetical order. So here's something: carob powder, we say, does not require a certification. I think that's something that most people would not necessarily know.
Okay, now in those types of powders, then a person has to realize that sometimes you will have the powder as a 100% carob powder, which would be ground, dried and ground Caribs, which are, as we know in Tu Bishvat as the Buxer, and there you would have, as in other types of pure products, which would be pure in ground, that we would permit it without a certification. You would have the same thing, which would be true in terms of other pure ground items that would not have any other types of additives added to it.
Now, isn't it possible that on the same equipment that they ground the carob powder, they might have been doing something else?
So, in truth, that's, again, the consumer confidence that would say that whatever has gone on to the equipment is actually will not compromise the kashrus of the product.
Because if it's nullified, whatever would be
right
there, or... Right.
But as it would happen in most of these processes, that you would have it in terms of a grinder and a mixer and a filler, that they would go from the net one product. It's not a hot filled or a liquid cooked product. It's basically ground and filled. So anything else that would be on that product line would either be cleaned off by what they call a blowout from the previous run, and what you'd be getting is 100% carob powder. Now, there's also an interesting thing that today, because of allergens, that typically you would see it on disclaimers, on labels, that it would be made in a facility that would have tree nuts, would have a facility that would have milk products.
Right.
So you pretty well could tell from this type of a carob powder, if it doesn't have any types of exceptions or alerts on it, that you have a pretty safe consumer confidence
right
in that one.
We also have, on the other hand, we have carob morsels, little carob chips, like chocolate chips. That does require certification. It's not the same as the powder. Just looking down the list over here, we have... an item, let's say corn syrup, pure corn syrup. Our policy is that it does not require a certification, but that a person should be aware that corn syrup sometimes flavored, and then it would require because of the flavoring, like vanilla. With vanilla, it might be with vanilla. Let's take another example here. How about frozen eggs? Like liquid eggs.
So liquid eggs
require certification, right?
You definitely would have other types of additives or preservatives that
right
would be added into the liquid egg.
And also the equipment that they make it on might be pasteurized on equipment that makes dairy also.
I think your readers might be interested to hear a story about the corn syrup. That typically corn syrup is used, they definitely use hydrochloric acid and an enzyme to help extract in the corn syrup. And I was certifying in one company prior to my coming to the Star K, and it was a company in Dayton, Ohio, a cargo company that was actually sending out the corn syrup to another end user, which is a candy company. The candy company required that we would go ahead and to certify the particular corn syrup that was being shipped, and it was not too difficult a task. However, I got called back to say we have to do it again. This is why, because they found that on the rail car that was filled with corn syrup, somebody defaced it with a swastika, and they were afraid to use it. They thought that maybe the corn syrup was adulterated.
They might have added
therefore they might have added something to it.
Wow.
So there it was. Something that didn't require a half shirt, but it had to go for round two.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. We have honey, which we discussed a few months ago. Pure honey does not require a certification if it's just honey, not flavored.
Well, your listenership should know that the honeys, that nowadays you can get specialty honeys,
mm-hmm,
and that you'll have that typically we've had on the market shelf would be clover honey,
mm-hmm,
you know, but you have orange blossom honey. You would have other types of honeys,
right,
pine, anything that would have that type of adjective before the honey is basically what the bees will take
the flowers.
The flowers.
Right.
So there's a difference between that which would be pure honey, mm-hmm. and there are the flavored honeys, which would be lemon-flavored honey, or which would have flavorings in it that would require kosher certification.
Right. If anybody has any questions, anybody who's listening, you want to know about a particular product, if we say that it does, if our policy is that it does or doesn't require it, please feel free to chime in. And, you know, we really feel that this way we help the kosher consumers save money. That's really what we're doing, is we're telling you, in our understanding, these things don't require a certification if you can get it without, and you feel comfortable with that, which you very well can be comfortable knowing that it's a kosher product. Then go ahead and buy the cheaper item. And but again, like you mentioned before, if you want to be, you know, confident that you have someone behind it, then get the one with the certification.
Yeah. There's another thing, though, that you should know, is that the readership, the listenership should know, that in the case of even something which would be as innocuous as salt, typically your salt is either has an additive of iodine, or they say they will not provide iodine. Now you're getting into sea salts, which again, salt that is, they say is probably either more beneficial in terms of the health-wise or cooking-wise. But you will have industrial salts that will have other additives that will be added to it. And therefore, it's even something as simple as salt may require certification. Pretty much it's in the industrial sector rather than the consumer sector, but not everything is as simple as it appears.
I had once we say that salt for Passover, as long as it hasn't got the iodine, is acceptable without a certification. I had once one of my mashkichim went into a facility that we certified salt, and he found that they were using soybean oil, which is kidneyos and not acceptable for Pesach. They were using that as an anti foam. You know, if the salt would froth up, they would pour some soybean oil on top, and that would help it settle down. And that was a problem. Now, it was used in such an infinitesimal amount that it wasn't. It was actually would be acceptable for Passover, but not for people who wanted the highest level. So that could not be certified for Passover with
the
soybean oil.
Non-kosher antiphone.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Well, so that's something that even though there could be an issue with it, you know, it's few and far between. So really, we're still okay with the salt for Passover as long as it hasn't got the iodine. We're okay with it for Pesach. Here are some questions coming up over here. What about dishwashing detergent? Okay, so
that's a very good question.
Good question.
Especially that I asked the question to the OU, that some of the popular soap items have had the OU missing from the label. As Rabbi Heinemann often says, it's even though it might be a soap, and I am not aware, from my experience in soap companies, of really adding non-kosher ingredients into soaps. Sometimes they would use it in a bar soap, or sometimes they would use it in a type of a fabric softener, but not in dishwashing liquid. The real feeling is, even though maybe your brain will tell you that it's really no problem, your heart will tell you that if you're putting it on your dishes, it would definitely be advisable to get it with kosher certification.
Okay. I have a question about dough-bagged salads. Okay. Up until a month ago or so, I was able to find a generic tossed salad, shredded iceberg lettuce, and red cabbage and carrots. This past Friday, I had to buy separate bags of each. Yeah, I'm not sure what the question is yet.
Okay. Well, there are, possibly that it might be on your grocery store or whoever's ordering it. They do make...
Does it mean it had a certification or it didn't have a certification?
I can only tell you from ours that...
we certified some of the Dole products.
Yes, we do. The romaine has to be done with full-time supervision. The iceberg and coleslaw from the plants that we certified that has the Star K gets monitored throughout the season. And sometimes you will get products that they will bag lettuce by themselves, carrots by themselves, cabbage by themselves.
So he's asking not a kosher question, but why don't they make a mixed salad anymore?
They do.
I don't know.
I mean, I bought it this week.
Maybe just not available in your area.
I'll also let the listenership know that we have one of our companies, River Ranch, which was bought out with a corporate buyout, and for a while decided not to sort of be certified with the Star Cave. I received a phone call yesterday that their winter season, which is going to begin next week, will once again be under Star Cave supervision and certification. And within 17 days, you'll be able to have your grocery brands that did not have the Star Cave on them will once again reappear with the Star Cave by the date code.
And that brings up the question whether or not these bagged lettuces require certification, or can you buy them just based on the fact that the washing that they do would wash off the bugs? They have these triple wash and all these different high-tech washes. Maybe I don't need a certification on the lettuce, Rabbi Rosen.
Well, the vegetables that such as carrots and broccoli slaw, which was just used broccoli, chopped broccoli stalks, not florets, that would not have any type of infestation whatsoever, you would be able to buy without certification. If you have iceberg lettuce, coleslaw, which is cabbage, which are and can be infested, although minimally, and the triple wash is effective, we would allow it with minimum types of oversight, meaning that we would assure that the actual wash system is effective in cleaning.
But the consumer can't do.
That's right. And we monitor it throughout the season. Mm-hmm. The romaine lettuce, which has a very high propensity of infestation, and it has a very high failure rate, we would require for each lot that's being produced to have supervision to be able to see that the lot is insect-free and therefore to be allowed to put a Star K. Otherwise, we would not certify that product.
Right. Here's something going back to the honey. I once heard of a company that was selling pure honey that was fake. It was really flavored corn syrup. I've heard about that too. It was, I think, in Israel that they sold many, many different
Not only is it true, but nowadays, which I've never, in our youth, we really wouldn't see something like this called a honey blend. And there's comes out of India, actually has Star K certification. It's called honey blend,
right.
A blend of honey
right.
and corn syrup.
And that it says, but it says explicitly that it's honey and corn syrup.
And specifically for that reason is why we require 100% honey to have kosher certification for Passover.
Mm-hmm.
So they say that, and actually year-round, 100% honey, even if it was adulterated with corn syrup, would be a product that would not require year-round certification. But for Passover, you need to have reliable kosher certification on your honey for that very reason.
Mm-hmm, because of the corn syrup. And here, Yehuda says, if I am not mistaken, you have a downloadable PDF that has this information about the vegetables. Not sure what he means. We have a PDF about checking. Yes, we have a PDF about checking how to check your vegetables for insects.
Correct.
Yes, that was written, put together by Reb Zev Stein. He did a fantastic job, and also I wanted to thank him for he's sitting here and helping us with the technical aspects. He's a man of many different hats.
And talents.
Yes, and it goes without saying. I had an interesting discussion the other day with somebody. He was in Aldi's, which you know is like a generic, no-name brand store, and cheaper. You know, they sell items there cheaper. And he was complaining that he couldn't find kosher products there, and how come we don't certify Aldi's? And, you know, that way he would be able to save money.
That's a very good question.
And it's a good question, but, you know,
Let me explain how the vegetable industry. There are vegetables which would be graded as grade A. That would be your Green Giant, your Del Monte, the name brands. That would be a grade A vegetable. You will then have a store brand, which would be a grade B. Sometimes store brands, that's called a private label. So a private label store, which recognizes the value of the kosher mark and also would recognize the value of value, would get certification, and hence many of your store brands, Giants, Wegmans, Tops,
Safeway.
Safeway would almost insist on having their products. There might be, you know, less expensive than your high item brands, that they'll have reliable kosher certification on them. And then you'll have your discount stores such as Aldi's, which may even get a grade C. And they're really not, they aren't, their clientele typically is not going to be your run-of-the-mill Jewish clientele, or at least their clientele, even though it might be a Jewish clientele, they don't see the value of going in for the extra expense, although the expense is minimal. A private label is pennies, not even pennies. If you talk about the label and some $200 for a private label contract,
let's explain that these companies, like Aldi's and Safeway and Trader Joe's, they don't produce anything.
That's correct.
They haven't got one place where they manufacture anything. What they do is they go to some manufacturer and they say, can you please produce for us your product or a similar product? And if that manufacturer is certified, or you, or Starkey, or whatever certification it is, they can hook on to that certification for the minimal amount that you're mentioning. And there's really no way that we can give a certification to Aldi's if Aldi's doesn't ask us for it, or doesn't go to the manufacturers that provide that. We have no influence or control, or we can't. So Aldi's has to come and look for it. And what you're saying is that there isn't that push on Aldi's part to want to do that. Now Trader Joe's, on the other hand, they, I think, figured out the kosher market
Trader
well.
Whole Foods, all of the, even the BJ wholesales, Price Costco, or now they're called Costco, all the warehouses, they recognize that they want to appeal to the greatest niche market available, and therefore they feel that private labeling their product with reliable kosher certification will sell.
Right. As a matter of fact, Trader Joe's, I think, is different than the others in that the others would like to hide where it's made, where the product is actually made. You don't really know where the Safeway products are made, and so on. But I think Trader Joe's, sometimes their labels will say manufactured by whatever company it is for Trader Joe's. I don't think that they want it to be known that their product.
Sometimes their information is proprietary, and sometimes not.
Okay.
So it really depends. But with Trader Joe's, actually, will have a list in it because they're very proud of the fact that they are that they have so much kosher certified products that they will actually give a list of who is behind the symbol in the Trader Joe product.
Right, and that's why when you go into Trader Joe's, you find some Trader Joe's items with a star K, some with an OU, some with a Chaf K, some with a circle K. Why can't they get their act together and get one certification? Because they're just going to various plants around the country, around the world, and they're having product packed there. So whatever certification it is, that's the one that they take. They don't ask for, they don't themselves have a certification. They're just piggybacking on the others.
Correct.
Okay, let's see if there are any more. No, there aren't any more questions. I think we'll wrap it up there. And thank you very much, Rabbi Rosen, for joining us. And thank you all for listening. We are, here in New York, both Pathmark and ShopRite print booklets of their products and who is the certification.
That is true.
Yeah. We've used that booklet here because people call us and want to know who certifies which product.
I think it's important to know the power of the kosher consumer.
Right.
Realize that you have, as a consumer and a customer, that the Pathmarks, the ShopRites, even the Giants here, that we have the circular here that came this week with a big Happy Hanukkah, and had a whole section of kosher food that was on sale at the Giant, which Giants is part of the whole Ahold holding, which has an enormous amount of stores. And we've really come to the marketplace with a lot of buying power. And that's why these companies, the Pathmarks and the ShopRites and the Wallbaums, really need us to be able to make their business go.
Right. You know, and there's just one more thing I want to mention, that this is a little trick that consumers could use if they want to know where this the store brand is made, and it's a secret, it's proprietary information. If you look on the shelf and you see a, I don't know, say a popcorn, a bag of popcorn with a certain certification, a national brand, let's say with a Star K, and then right next to there is the Safeway brand of popcorn with the same Star K. So, you know, it's likely that one is that the store brand is going to be made in wherever that national brand is, and that's why it's the same certification.
That's why I have ice cream cones. Ice cream cones is usually a good example.
Ice cream cones is another good example.
That's usually I only have a couple of manufacturers in the whole.
Right, there are only a couple of manufacturers, but it's a little bit of a trick that people could use to really, if they want to know where it's made and who produces this product, if the store brand product. Sometimes you can figure it out using these certifications and working your way
or codes
backwards.
Just to let you know, just as far as the product, sometimes, as in canned vegetables, you can have a grade A and a grade B.
So it may not be the same grade, right.
It may not be the same
quality. That's absolutely true. All right, thank you again for joining us. We are here the last Wednesday of each month at Dim Dim and at... there is a number here. Here it is. Okay, 218-895-1203. Passcode is 2020 pound. And we want to wish everybody a safe, if they're driving somewhere this weekend, a safe trip, and a happy Hanukkah.
Thank you very much, Brother Goldberg.
Take care. Have a good day. Bye-bye.